All right, welcome back to another episode of Four Guys,
One Film.
Today, we're going to be talking about The Mummy, the 1999 classic.
You had to look at the page for that?
Yeah, I'm like, wait, was it the Tom Cruise Mummy? Was it the more recent ones? Yeah. Was it
if Brandon Fraser was in it, we're not counting it.
I don't know. The Jet Li one sucked.
I thought that one was fine.
Yeah. Well, anyway, just quick synopsis. Obviously, everyone's seen this movie, but let's be honest. Imhotep, he did this whole thing for some cheeks. Hey, bro. And you can't blame the fucking guy. A Knox on the Moon? God, bro. Anyone in the audience, if you want a cosplay of that, I'm not pulling out.
Specifically men.
Exactly. I'll be
all gold and lace.
Yes.
And then she had the pasties on. She literally started the rave girl trend.
No, I think that was back in the 90s. That was just a thing, man.
What do you think happened in Woodstock, baby? Think about that.
Nah, in Woodstock, it was just titties out, buddy. It was just titties. It was bush and titties.
No pasties. No pasties.
Pasty women.
Yeah.
Pretty hairy. They're all white.
Yeah, it was bush and titties out there, buddy.
Crazy. Yeah.
Before AIDS.
Before Bush and Al Gore.
So, yeah, Imhotep was all over that, wasn't he?
No, yeah, 100%. Well, I mean, honestly, this movie is something that I watched as a child a million times. Like, it was something that we would put on just even in the background, and then you just kind of like eating dinner, whatever, and it's just there.
Same here. In Spanish? Dub? Spanish dub?
In Telemundo?
Everywhere, bro. Like,
Cinquentados?
It was just such a popular, like, TV movie.
Well, it was
always on. It
because
was great.
It was just a good fucking movie.
I bet you made millions of dollars just from
for sure,
the TV run.
100%. Absolutely. I bet Brendan Fraser didn't get a fucking penny of that shit.
Nah.
Even in the second one, which
he
I think the second one
he probably didn't have a good contract. That's why he came back for the third one, bro. Cash grabbing. Yeah. Like,
and Rachel Weisz was like,
yeah,
nah,
Rachel Weisz
said,
fuck this script. Yeah. Are you kidding me? Have you read this? Yeah. Oh, my God. But I mean, going back to it, it's a super quotable film. It has really good storytelling.
What quotes are you getting from this movie?
A Knox on the Moon.
You're on the wrong side of the river. That's just
three or
all
four
the
times.
Fucking yeah. things. I mean, he obviously says action hero shit that's supposed to be kind of like funny or like badass and
a
like I don't
corny,
know.
Yeah.
As a kid, you just fucking love it, bro. It's just it's so
even
good.
As obviously, an adult.
That's what I'm saying. I'm like, obviously, you know, the nostalgia factor, looking at it, you know, it's probably the reason I attached onto it so long is because I watched it so many times as a kid. Mm-hmm. So maybe it's not even that quotable, but even then, it holds
a good place. I will say him and Tom Cruise are my action heroes.
Tom Cruise?
Yeah. Wait a second. These guys
are
Short
King?
Heroes?
Yeah. Well, name somebody
Schwarzenegger,
that
Stallone.
No, I'm talking about in our age, in like in our generation, our timeline, where we could actually see these movies. I think they're our action heroes.
No.
Who is it going to be? The fucking Rock? John Cena?
Nah,
Vin Diesel? No. Fuck you.
Keanu.
Keanu Reeves.
He said, fuck you.
Yeah.
Keanu Reeves for me.
Nah, we're phasing out of that, man.
Yeah.
We're already like in our mid-20s.
What about Harrison? I know Harrison Ford's old, but Indy?
Indy.
But he did Indy old already.
Actually, let's talk about that, because I feel like The Mummy is pretty much an Indiana Jones film.
I did think they're
in Egypt.
And better.
I don't know about that.
There's a giant plot hole in Daniel.
I think
they even
talk
about it in fucking the Big Bang.
Unfortunately, like, I'm with Gator. I think
it's
better.
Let me hear that plot hole.
I don't think so.
That Indy didn't even need to do shit. They were still eventually going to meet up to go to the fucking thing, and it would have been fine. It would have worked out anyways. The Nazis would have died. Indy didn't have.
Wait, you're talking about the first one?
Yeah.
Raiders of the Lost.
Okay. Yeah. Indy didn't even have to do anything. He just had to fucking let them die.
But then we wouldn't have had a movie.
True.
Exactly.
But again,
no,
it's just a giant plot hole.
No, fair enough. I mean, even in this movie, I feel like there was certain plot holes. But despite that, I feel like the story progressed really well in the sense that it's like, okay, so the antagonist has a reason. Imhotep wants to bring back his girlfriend. Obviously, he shouldn't have been trying to bang her in the first place because that's the Pharaoh's wife. But then, I don't know. I thought it was also kind of silly that she just kills herself. It's like, all right, bitch. Maybe.
Well, she was going
to
die.
Try to get away.
She was about it, though. There's a lot of people who just threaten that shit. She did it.
Yeah, no.
You know what I'm saying?
Straight up Sepoku,
she said, I'm
dude,
a bad
fucking
bitch. You can't kill me. I can kill me, though.
Bring him back, baby. Yeah. Doesn't bring her back. Fails. But
well, in the second one, he technically does.
Spoiler alert.
Fuck! Damn
20
it!
Years third fucking leader. If you didn't watch the second one, the better fucking movie.
I do think the second one is peak.
I think which is great to see a movie that actually has a sequel that could arguably be better.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
That usually doesn't happen.
No, I agree.
That happens a lot.
I feel like
Blade Runner 2049. Don't even get me started.
The Dark Knight.
I feel like the trend, though. You're right.
Spider-Man 2.
I mean, anybody can name outliers, okay?
Spider-Man 3 is better.
But if you talk about normal trilogies, like everybody usually talks about fall-offs. Is how it goes. Is fall-offs.
Yeah, I do like the second one.
Really? I don't think the second one is better than the first one. I
like
it.
I think there's more to grab from the second one.
Which one are you guys talking about?
Talking about because Biff's a little older. He's a little thicker, so there's more to grab. Yeah. I know what you're
talking about. I like the first one. The first one, the first one just like
it's the classic.
Back to the Future 2 showed us our current reality.
Yeah, that's what I actually hoverboarded to work today.
Yeah.
Believe
yeah.
it or not.
Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah.
His right quad is throbbing. He had to come all the way from Brea in that bitch.
Right. But the crazy. Mummy, though, right?
So one thing that I really enjoy about this is the world building. Honestly, it feels like it's really lived in, you know?
Oh, I see.
Like, yeah, because Egypt, yeah, I don't know if you know this, George.
No. Look, like, real country. Other movies, I feel like they don't go into the background of, like, you know, the Book of the Dead. They're talking about this.
I wouldn't.
The cats and the pharaoh.
I wouldn't say that's a lot of world building. Just explaining
there's
stuff.
There's so many small details that they implement, and they kind of, like, they don't even just necessarily address them, but they're just as part of, like, little, you know, details that add to the actual story.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, like, there's other movies that are done now, I'm like, I don't know fucking anything that's going on about, like, the whole thing. Like, the fucking Tom Cruise movie, the new Mummy one.
I never saw it.
Fucking absolute garbage. Like,
that's a standalone film. The only ones that
this
were
one was
like,
a standalone film when it came out. That's what I'm saying.
About that. Yeah,
that's
true.
So, I don't know. I really enjoyed that. Also, the fact that they used so many practical effects in this compared to just full-on doing the CGI. Obviously, in the, you know, 90s, it was probably difficult to do all the CGI. But even the CGI that is there, fucking fantastic. It holds up so well for the time.
ILM did it, right? Industrial Light and Magic?
Yeah, I think it
was. Don't remember the studio, but, I mean, shit, they fucking knocked it out
of
the park.
Well, they did everything in the 90s. So.
Killing. I kind of wonder if it was a mix of practical and...
Well, I have the Blu-ray for this one and the Mummy 2,
that's
right?
That's great.
And these were all practical effects. They only added, like, digital effects to the bodies and stuff. But, like,
I'm sure all the beetles and stuff, those were well done.
Scarabs.
Yeah.
Scabs.
Yeah, the one scene that stood out that we were talking about is that those scenes where the cat comes in and then he just turns into sand and he just kind of escapes the room. There's a scene where it's like, it looks so fucking good and you're like, wait, is that actual sand? And then you realize, oh shit, they did it backwards because the sand goes through the building and then the way that it's just fucking scooped out, it just looks so good. And as a kid, I never caught it, but like as an adult, you're like, oh shit, they did it in reverse. That makes sense.
Well, it's probably cheaper and faster to do it that way than it would have to just like
hit. But even then, it looks fucking fantastic.
Another horror movie that did something like that was in Dracula, the one directed by Coppola, because there's a scene where a vampire comes out of the coffin, but it's all done backwards, so it looks like really, really weird.
Yeah, and I feel like that's one thing in filmmaking where it's like they had to find solutions to problems that they probably didn't, you know, come across before, but they would somehow still try to make it work, and that really builds innovation, whereas now there's like CGI. Make it happen in post, whatever. And that's what leads to a lot of these films where it's like, it takes me away from like the, like this feels like this could actually happen in the real world because it looks so fucking good and crisp. Obviously, there's mummies and all the fictional shit, but everything else really drags me into the world, you know?
Right.
Well, absolutely. That's what, you know, that's what practical effects do, you know? And we don't get that nowadays. Like,
again, which kind of blows, but I mean.
Like, I wouldn't feel like there's like a modern director right now that would do a practical effect instead of just CGIing it.
Well, yeah, that being said, I mean, 26 years later now, do you guys feel like this, you know, holds the test of time all these years?
We're still here watching it.
Still enjoying it.
You watched it twice today.
I literally watched it twice today, and it was still enjoyable.
And I saw the entire film, eyes open, like no distraction, just like off my phone watching it. Like, I
can't believe you disrespected this film by falling asleep, Alexis.
Yeah.
Your eyeballs are just throbbing right now.
They're on fire.
Sorry, what's throbbing?
Oh.
Oh my goodness.
Oh my god. That's for later, Nick. After the show.
I do want to get into how, you know, high budget films like this are no longer really achievable. And I kind of don't understand.
Was this a high budget film? Do you know?
I mean, come on. Like,
I mean, I you could tell that being from the 90s, this was pretty high budget.
100%. I think that the problem, though, is that, you know, nowadays studios just, especially after COVID now, they just have such a like gambler's mindset of like hedging their bets against any project that is unique. It's almost feels like some of the coolest things that come out ended up being a little bit self-produced, self-funded.
Yeah, but when so it was an $80 million budget for the 90s. That's a lot of money.
That's
a
shit ton of money for inflation.
It almost made what, like 415.
Yeah, it crushed it.
418, and then some after that.
See, but that risk was worth it because they knew that they would have the DVD sales.
And that's the problem. VHS, is like I said, nowadays it's so much fucking like money. Well, streaming has fucked everything.
That's what I wanted to get into. Honestly, like at this point, if it doesn't hit the box office and do stellar fucking numbers, now it's like, all right, we're gonna sell it to a streaming platform for fucking pennies on the dime. And then on top of that, no one's buying fucking digital anymore. Like you just stream it and then you're done with it. And then physical copies are fucking basically
they're collector's things.
They're gone.
It's just for like a small amount of people, you know.
But if the movie's good enough, I'm gonna buy the Blu-ray.
You're right, but I'm saying like the maybe like two out of
But you're also people. Like you know an outlier because most people don't do that. Alexis has a fucking collection like in the archives. Eventually they're gonna reach out to him and be like, "Yo, like do you have this shit on?"
Let me dust. And then Alexis will be like, "Fuck you, you're gonna ruin my seal."
I'm not gonna give you my Before trilogy. I can't. Not again.
Well,
never again
with digital media.
No.
Yeah, remember when Nick fucking scratched your copy of Memories of Murder or some shit?
What?
Wait a second.
Is this a projection?
My copy? Oh my god.
No, he did something. I remember you looked at him dirty. What? You were like, you son of a bitch.
I'm gonna go look
at it. You remember? Memories of Murder?
Maybe George saw something.
George only brings up hateful comments.
I want to stir the pot, baby. I want to stir the pot.
Remember when Nick gave me this?
First of all, I fucked Hey. Alexis has never let me borrow anything because
you've never asked.
Because you're a dirty hoe. Let's just talk about it.
Don't let me borrow anything. Actually, I agree.
George is Benny.
Yeah. Oh, dude, let's George is definitely Benny.
George loves Benny. The whole time he's like, Benny is so cool.
Actually, I want to ask a question.
Benny would have been a crypto,
like,
bro.
So, like, what makes Benny so relatable to you, George? Like,
it's
what?
Not relatable. I think he's a hilarious character, and he's just also.
I heard
such,
you under your
he's
breath
such
say
such a piece
so
of
mean.
Shit, bro. Like, I never said that. Gator said that. So
no,
Nick, you guys kept fucking comparing
like,
me.
Why don't I look like
if the shoe fits, George?
There's characters that are disgusting characters that. I'm not idolizing, but I thought he was fucking funny as shit. Right. Also, he was just a scumbag. He was a slimy weasel, and it was hilarious. Every time he was on the camera, I was like, this guy's fucking funny, dude. Like,
wait. So you said you watched this movie a lot growing up.
Yeah.
And Benny.
I started to realize you might have subconsciously idolized the wrong
person. Did I just become Benny? I was just like, yo, I want to be. This guy's like, I'm not praying to any god unless it benefits me.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
I'm praying to all of them.
Exactly.
What was his quote? He says, it's better to be the right hand of the devil than fucking
be in
his
path.
Yeah. I'm like, hey, come on. He's got a point, bro.
Right. Yeah, that was the first thing you were like, yeah. And we found out you'd sell your soul for a lot less.
For pennies,
he still
bro.
Died in a horrible death. He got eaten alive,
bro, because he was being a greedy piece of shit. The greed literally set off the fucking things in motion that caused the whole collapse of the, you know, the tomb. So, I mean, I think it was a metaphor. Don't be a fucking greedy piece of shit. He could have escaped with a good amount of gold, but he wanted more.
So,
right?
George, when you pulling out of crypto?
Oh my god, yeah. Bro, I'm down. I'm down, bad boys. But
it's crazy that this irrelevant. Guy is an American dude. Like, I thought he was. He seems so like.
Oh my
god,
bro.
God, he's such
he
a
looks
creep.
Slimy
he's,
in the fucking movie.
His forehead got bigger throughout the
dude,
years.
Dude, that little crusty
well,
stash.
It was
the
same thing with.
He was in There Will Be Blood.
It was the same thing with
dude.
Arnold Vosloo, who played Imhotep. He was also. He was half American, half South African.
That's right.
Wow. So it's just one of those things where it's like, you were only able to hire, you know, Egyptian men or women. When it came to scenes of them getting all the plagues and curses and everything else, but you're like, nah, y'all don't belong in the starting role.
Hey, this is 90s Hollywood, brother. Okay.
Hey, yeah. But they made that fucking guy the protector. What's his name? He was the guy on the horse the whole time. And you were like, dude, that guy's a stud.
Awesome.
Oh my god.
Oh,
the guy
part of the
shit,
the Magi.
Yeah.
The leader of the Magi. Yeah, that guy.
The curly fucking locks on that guy. Jesus
god,
Christ.
That John Hanna? No, that's no. That one was. It's Ardeth Bay.
Yeah, you don't have him in here.
What else is he in? I feel like I've seen him before.
He was in Bruce Gigolo.
Odette Fair. He's from Israel.
Yeah, he's an Israeli.
He was in a bunch of Resident Evil movies.
Yeah,
they
hired an Israeli actor to play a Middle Eastern guy. Fucking love it.
Crazy.
I thought he was Mexican.
Yeah, because Isaac kept yelling that he was Mexican.
That's what he kept saying. I believed it, too. I was like, you fucking
you
liar.
You can't tell me that guy doesn't look Mexican. He's an Aztec warrior.
Hey, that was a good-looking dude.
Dude, bro, those fucking tats that he had on his cheeks, yeah. Crazy.
Dude, his locks,
crazy cheeks, hard, bro. Which cheeks?
I thought he was a rapper for a second.
Dude, and then his voice, like, is so sexy, dude. Like, I don't know, man. I get into it.
Great.
So another topic that I wanted to bring up is, like, obviously we already addressed the sequels things. I actually did not like the second one more than the first.
Shut
one.
The fuck up. That's crazy. That was crazy, man.
I mean, this is a standalone film. This was fantastic, and it built everything that had to
you
come.
You don't need
but,
to watch the first one to watch the second one. That's how good, and it's so good.
I agree, but I still, for some reason, this, you know, is more embedded in my mind, and I love it, and I feel like it's one of those films that it's like a comfort film that I always go back to. But the second one, I feel like it's really good, but it doesn't hit the same.
How do you feel about The Scorpion King, though, with The Rock? With the
Oh,
piano?
That one was crazy.
That's a good movie.
That
was actually his best.
That was one of his best work, for sure. Like, I mean,
that and The Rundown are the best.
There's the nothing. Rock. There's nothing else. Yeah, I'm like,
no, you need to watch
Jungle Cruise.
The Game Plan.
Jumanji was good because of Jack Black.
Pain Game.
You know,
the Tooth Fairy.
That's the best one right there.
I know. Name another one where he had wings, bro.
Oh, Red One, bro. He was so fucking good, bro. Fantastic.
He didn't have wings.
It was one of the best.
Dude, Hollywood needs to stop hiring this guy. Like, nobody wants him.
He's ruining.
Yeah, but wouldn't you agree?
The problem is he produces half of this shit, so he's hiring them.
By the time that it got to The Dragon King, it was already watered down. Like, I didn't care for it at all.
I did. I got to say, though, like, look, I'm so used to, like, this line, if you will, of like ancient Egyptians to basically Middle East to all of these like areas where treasure hunting is happening. That's what I did like about the Dragon King or whatever, was the fact that they're using a different medium, like China. You know, that's what I liked about movies, the National Treasure series, where it was things that were in the U.S. It was different. I feel like I am a little tired of them utilizing the same exact like sequences, especially
the trope.
Like, when you talk about, like, think about Europe, dude. Europe is so rich in history. Like,
because they stole history.
Exactly. So you're telling me they don't want to hide this history that they stole? Like, you mentioned the Da Vinci Code.
Yeah.
They could have done something Da Vinci Code-esque, but like also made it more like Tomb Raider-y and like, you know, going like, or National Treasure-y, and made it a little bit
more. That's like a series they need to bring back, Tomb Raider series.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I feel like
I think it'd go crazy.
I'd watch that.
Yeah, I wonder why.
But honestly, dude, Angelina Jolie's my Tomb Raider.
Hey.
I don't think any Buddhist could like knock out that role. It's like with like fucking Iron Man.
Yeah, but they can't bring her back.
I was gonna ask, did they make another one? But I guess
they did, didn't they? Yeah,
they did.
Yeah. I forgot who the main actress was. I actually was just getting like recommendations.
Wasn't that Alicia Vikander?
Who the fuck is that?
I never watched it.
Don't care for it.
Yeah. But I don't know. I mean, like, when by the third one, I didn't care for it. I feel like this happens often with a lot of sequels where it just kind of like becomes a convoluted, you know, sense
of
itself.
It also took forever to just fucking make the third one too. Like, there was like a 10-year gap.
Yeah. And then the fact that Rachel Weisz didn't come back for her role, it's kind of like, you know, it's synonymous with the fact that it fucking sucked. Like, she read the script and she was like, fuck this shit. I'm not doing this cash grab.
You know what? Pirates of the Caribbean is kind of like.
Yeah, I feel like all the Pirates. I feel like all the Pirates of the Caribbean movies are good, though.
Yeah, those are not bad.
I feel like I may have not
Orlando
seen
Bloom,
all those,
dude.
Oh, dude. This is peak Orlando Bloom, dude.
Yeah, no. The best.
Like, peak fucking Brendan Fraser right here, man. He was at peak of his powers, like, in the second one.
Yeah.
He looked fantastic. He could act the shit out of these fucking movies. He was my action hero.
Yeah, so another thing with this movie, obviously, Brendan Fraser, he was at the top of his, like, career. He was doing really well. This is probably one of his best films. And it sucks that, like, in Hollywood, obviously, the culture, a little bit heavy of a topic, but it's just crazy to see that someone like Brendan Fraser, which is this action star, and he's, like, a fucking hero to so many, is still, you know, he becomes prey to these fucking people like Weinstein, or, you know, whatever producer that did that.
Who
shit
came
to
after him? Was it Weinstein?
Yeah, who? I don't think it was Weinstein.
I don't know who
it touched his ween. No, but you're right,
Fraser,
though. It is. It really does.
Oh, here it is. His name is Philip Burke. That piece of shit.
Yeah. Fuck that guy, dude. Let's dox him. Release his address, Alexis.
He groped his bottom in 2003 at the Beverly Hills. 03.
Wow, so after he made Mummy Returns?
That's probably Mummy Returns.
Yeah.
But no,
look at when Mummy Returns came out.
Dead ass, though. You're right, George. It shocks me to think, because, you know, I hate to say it, but it's true that...
Oh, one?
Wow.
Yeah,
Damn, so he had to...
He was already famous.
He was already holding that in, you know, during the whole movie. That's why he performed like crazy. What I was saying, though, George, is I'm with you, dude. I think that it's crazy to think that, you know, for a long time, I hate to say it was so normalized to, like, take advantage of women in our industry. In a bad way, obviously. And
The fact you said our industry, because we're in the movie industry. So
of course we have a fucking premier movie podcast. But it's just It really is sad to see that that was a trend that happened for so long.
But well, even Terry Crews got it.
That's what I'm saying, is that it's shocking that now, over years, we've seen male figures. It's anger-inducing, but it isn't, like, shocking.
Unfortunately, we live in a world where it's not shocking, which is kind of twisted.
Not only do we have, like, in this case, someone like Brendan Fraser, but you mentioned Terry Crews. These aren't just, like, big names in Hollywood that are males that are this happening to. These are huge fucking men.
Like, did you see him in George in the Jungle? He was massive.
Brendan Fraser now got massive as the Whale, but he was massive in other ways before. You know what I mean?
Yeah, also Terry Crews, look at that guy. Yeah, bro. He could rip you to shreds.
He used his arms, NFL player.
He used to have to jerk off like 10 times a day just to hold that shit in. That dude was addicted to porn. It's real.
Yeah, he also said that too. Yeah.
And so like imagine like having the balls like and the like audacity and like the fucking like, I don't know, the slimy and grittiness to go after men like that just because you feel so fucking weak and small.
What blows my mind is how often they get away with it. Because obviously, let's think about the situation with men that are being, you know, anyone that's being preyed upon. Most of the time, it doesn't come to the light. So the fact that these people are some of the, you know, ones that actually came out and talked about it, I can't imagine all the other victims that are still out there and like never addressed.
There's a lot more big stars that we know that have been diddled and have said nothing.
I think it's sad.
Bro, imagine someone tried to do that to Arnold. He'd probably kill him, dude.
Arnold probably got
bare hands.
Yeah.
He's not that good to be like that.
I think it's sad because I think that you have like Terry Crews too, where both of them were victimized in other ways in their careers with, you know, Brendan Fraser and his divorce and losing a lot of money, and Terry Crews with having to have an open, you know, discussion with the public about his porn addiction and kind of be weak in that moment. They both had the opportunity to use that limelight of like, hey, I'm exposing myself as a human being who has issues, to then kind of shed light on this too. But now you have a Brad Pitt who's never been imperfect. Like, that's his brand, is I'm perfect.
Yeah. Even when the FBI, you know, publicly said that he abused his wife and
kids, that doesn't happen.
Nothing happened to him.
That's of course, because he's perfect. There's Brad nothing Pitt. Wrong. It's Brad fucking Pitt. You know, go watch Bullet Train and enjoy yourself. That's all.
Exactly.
But what I'm saying is that because his brand is like that, I feel like other similar actors and actresses who have that I'm untouched, I'm perfect, will never come out and say, hey, I've had this issue.
Right.
Yeah. Also, what comes to my mind is like, obviously, these guys were already in their peak or already doing well, right? When there's up and coming artists or like actresses, actors that are trying to make a name for themselves and they haven't necessarily made it in Hollywood, and then they come across a slimy fucking producer, director, whatever, and they're basically like, hey, you know, like, I need you to do this thing for me. Ever want to become an action star, like, I'll put you in a film and I'll make you a star. And that's kind of like, we can't imagine how often that happens.
It's terrible. And I mean, you know, going back to, you know, Brendan Fraser in particular for this movie, like, and where he's at now in life, I really hope he has good people around him. Because
absolutely.
I think that, you know, at times people, you know,
hopefully got that divorce rectified too.
Oh,
man,
of course,
Jesus Christ.
But I think it's sometimes you're just like people, you know, trying to be optimistic and trying to be happy for the guy. Obviously, you say like, oh, I'm glad it's all better now. But the thing that's sad when I think about people like him and his experiences is, you know, hopefully he doesn't feel, and people in that position never feel like they had to go through what they went through to get to where they're at now. Like, nobody deserves or should have ever go through any of that, right? And so it's hopefully not something that he feels and says like, oh, it was still something that I had to experience, something that I had to go through.
Also, we don't know what's going on behind closed doors.
Of course.
There's been numerous amounts of celebrities that have killed themselves. And then it's like sometimes you sit and wonder, you're like, shit,
what are they?
Like, something happened. That it's like, because they're living
everything,
you know,
we want. Right.
Literally, like,
they have money, they have the fame, they have recognition.
And it's kind of like, even then, that doesn't bring them happiness. Maybe there's, you know, these darker underlying tones that we have no idea about. And unfortunately, I think it comes with the territory, which wish it wasn't the case. You know, obviously, let's hope that this in the future rectifies and it becomes a situation where these predators are no longer able to do that as easily. Obviously,
I
completely eradicated would be perfect, but, you know, in a perfect world, right?
Yeah.
What were we going to say?
No, I didn't work out the way I was going to say.
All right.
But you know what? I don't want to define Brendan Fraser on this assault that happened.
No.
You know what I mean? Because unfortunately, that happens a lot where, you know, they speak out and, you know, you connect this event to the person, but, you know, the person needs to be more than what happened.
Right? Absolutely.
And I think that is what has happened with Brendan Fraser, where everyone's kind of realized like he's the guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're right. It shouldn't define him. It shouldn't. I mean, what he's known for.
He came back. He did The Whale. That was a great movie. I think he played a fantastic role in that.
Like as we've mentioned multiple times, I couldn't be happier for the guy. Yeah. I mean, watching him like with the reception of the movie, crying and stuff.
Because
like,
he won the Oscar for The Whale, right?
I think he did. Yeah.
He did.
Yeah.
And then he was in Killers of the Flower Moon.
He was.
Yeah, he had a pretty good role.
That's great.
What was his role in that one again?
He was the lawyer. He was the lawyer in the trial.
Oh, okay.
He had a very
What was the movie that he was a sheriff in?
Sheriff.
I feel like I remember him I seen him in a poster where he's like has a cowboy hat.
No, I think that was.
Right. That wasn't
Killers of the Flower Moon.
Cowboys and aliens.
Cowboys. And aliens.
No, I'm just kidding.
Well, I mean, on a lighter note, obviously we all really like this film. Looking back at it, I mean, what are you guys' favorite scenes? What's something that stands out?
Well, obviously, when he yells back at Imhotep and then shoots him, like that's the move.
Yeah,
you know,
that's hilarious.
I think that didn't work. I'm always gonna be like a fan of a fan and shocked genuinely of the scene where he gets where they hang him, because it looked extremely like they actually hanged him.
Yeah,
you know?
No.
Like it was 100%. Like, oh, this dude is just going through that, and like apparently. I was asking you, George, if you're going to bring it up, but he actually fucking passed out from it. Like, they were really choking him on the set.
Yeah, they were just kind of like, hey, we're just going to choke you out for a few seconds. Don't worry. We have a whole safety team.
There's like a history
on
the Mummy series where Brendan Fraser got really hurt.
See, this is why, crazy. Obviously, they take safety a lot more serious now. But back then, it was fucking the Wild West, bro. Like, they didn't give a fuck.
This was set in Egypt.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, obviously for me, I think the whole cat and mouse going back and forth between Rick O'Connell and Benny. Every fucking scene, it always cracks me up. Like that scene where he just fucking yeets a chair at him and knocks him out, and then he just starts fucking with
him. They need to do that more often with stupid.
I'll get a fucking metal chair and then yeet it to George when he's trying to run away.
That's what I like. I like when they do that in action movies. Like Bullet Train did that really too with goofy action.
Yeah.
Where you do a slap or a kick, like a flick in the nuts or some bullshit.
Dude, that's believable. Like
he literally fight. He has so much dismay to this guy. But also, he was his fucking. Battle partner, like in the beginning, right? Obviously, they're both in the fucking Egypt.
Well, Benny was a sack of shit the whole
time. Exactly. And he runs away. He's like, Benny, what the fuck? You're part of the fucking infantry. And he runs away and he slams the door shut on him. And I was like, this piece of fucking shit, what the hell?
Absolutely.
Obviously, like, he has so much disdain towards this fucker. And then, like, obviously, he got what he deserved at the end of it.
That's my favorite part, when he finally gets eaten by those fucking beetles or whatever.
No.
Fantastic. What are the flaws of this movie? I'll tell you one.
Honestly,
I said it as a joke, but I meant it, bro. As soon as Imhotep came back, fucking baby Bjorn cats. Like, you just grab a cat, put it on your chest, wrap that bitch around you a couple times, you're safe.
Oh, because Imhotep was afraid of
He was afraid of cats. Until
you
he
just fucking...
So if you gave cats, or even you said it, like, instead of holding out in a hotel, go to a cat sanctuary. And,
well, you know, that wouldn't
or a pet
work.
Shop.
That
well,
work
it's Egypt because they don't...
According to the Mummy lore, and you can look this up on IMDb, Rick O'Connell is allergic to cats.
Oh, wow.
So immediately, that's not
hey, right. But he picked one up, and he was kind of like...
Yeah, you're right. It would have been really bad if he had allergies.
Mistake, Nick. Honest mistake.
It would have been terrible if, like, think about it this way, right? Like, plague, that 10 plagues of Egypt, you know, cursing the entire world, or...
Right.
God
forbid he has a allergy attack and dies.
You could die of that.
It's because Zyrtec wasn't invented back then.
Right, or
it was only penicillin.
Yeah,
I mean, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
So Gator, would you think what's favorite scene?
I already told you when fucking Benny died. That was it. Like
that was actually it. That was
like that shot was kind of incredible too.
No, but seriously, what's your favorite scene?
No, literally, because that shot was incredible.
No, it was pretty good. It was pretty good.
But be real.
Be real.
Yeah.
We know what it was. For that
opening scene. you dirty little whore.
You caught me.
Yeah, no.
All right, we got him.
All right, well, boys, I mean, I think if we get into the letterbox, Alexis, you can, you know.
Let us know what the people think.
All right, here we go. This one's a 4-star by Alea, butterfly emoji. The best Indiana Jones movie never made. Also, that kiss and subsequent nose nudge after the kiss at the end was so precious. How do Rachel Weisz and Brendan Fraser have more charisma and chemistry than any other romantic pairing in Hollywood? Brain exploding emoji.
That's very true. Their chemistry was good, dude.
Yeah. Well,
Mr. Smith is really good.
Yeah, I don't know. You haven't seen that.
Well, they were actually married and abusing.
No, they weren't married at that point.
Well, they cheated on them.
That's why. Well, they were married. They're just not to each other.
Not yet.
Crazy. Not yet.
But yeah.
So ended in a divorce. Who would have thought?
This is a good point. This couple has like crazy good chemistry. Yeah. Like I don't know.
But I've heard.
Well, they're both
really
good looking people.
But it's the personality that.
I've seen people mention it though. It's like with Rachel Weisz, like she's just such a good leading actress when it comes to like things with chemistry.
She did fantastic.
So it's. I mean,
she's
no.
Married to Daniel Craig.
No,
dude, my first crush.
I mean,
if anybody deserves her, it's Bond. But I mean, yeah, I think.
James Bond.
Yeah, me and Alexis are actually gonna role play. I'm probably gonna be Rachel, or we could switch.
We could switch.
Yeah, you know,
if you want to be Rick O'Connell,
we
I'm cool with that. You know,
yeah, that makes sense.
I mean, Alexis is cuter.
I'll be Benny, and I'll watch.
You're gonna watch in the closet like a fucking weasel. Yeah. Just,
like Blue Velvet.
Blue Velvet.
No
baby.
Shit, not Blue Velvet.
Callback.
Please watch that episode.
Rest in peace.
Yes.
But
is it better than before? Before Sunrise?
Oh, no. That chemistry was insane. I'm still upset that they didn't get married. Honestly.
In real life. IRL?
yeah,
they're just friends.
I know.
It, if you could fake that shit, fuck
you. Dude, no.
I thought that was real.
I'm pretty sure they made love. They had to be at least
Yeah, how do you not fall in love?
Yeah.
Not
and you're right.
Love.
They didn't have sex. They had to make love.
They had to have made love.
Absolutely. You're right.
They know that they know each other that intimately.
Yeah.
You know?
Again, please watch the before
check out those callbacks.
Episodes. Yeah. Those are good. But thank you, Aaliyah, butterfly emoji, 4 stars. All right, this next one is by Part Deux, 3 stars.
You animal.
All right, let's see. This is kind of a long one, so I'm gonna just skip through. I like that Emotep is attainably fit, decent definition, a tiny bit of tummy, believably strong, but not like the winner of Mr. Sarcophagus 1999. That's pretty good. They just don't make them like that these days. And the same can be said for this movie. And then he says a lot of stuff. I'm just going to skip to the end. Relatable content.
How is that a 3, though? And also, why are you so caught up on his physique?
No, like, I will agree, though.
No, I agree with that. But, how did that result in you
this
giving this movie
GH,
a 3?
You know?
Well, I skipped a lot because it's just I don't want to read all this.
I get what you're saying, but yeah. I mean that
did
is true.
Did anybody give this a 1 star in Letterboxd?
Yeah.
What animal?
Really?
I don't want to give that any attention.
Also, why weren't the protectors the ones that were like, hey, by the way, don't read the fucking Book of the Dead because it's gonna bring this fucking motherfucker back? Like they could have just
society.
They could have just said that, bro. Just be like, hey, I know you guys are excavating, trying to find some artifacts. Maybe just don't read from the book, and we're good.
That's a good idea.
Well, no, because I'm pretty sure there's still gonna be like one greasy person that didn't believe in it. So they're like, you know what? We'd rather just like try to stop.
I feel like more like they were like 3,000 years. We're gonna start losing our funding if we don't show results. If we don't find Emotep and actually fucking seal them again, Doge is gonna cut our fucking funding, and we're gonna be screwed. So we gotta let them fucking.
They didn't send the email
Emotep
with they did for the week.
They said, "What
so
did you do this week?" And you said, "Watched." And they're like, "That's not gonna cut it."
They were also probably a little bored. They're like, "We've been kind of just hanging around for 3,000 years, haven't really got any action."
Some
time. So let's see how it plays out. Let's just fucking write it out.
Well, hey, thank you, Posito, for that 4.5-star review. Good combo. All right, last one. George's going to love this review. There's a 4-star by Metal Plix. They say, every character in this movie fucking rocks. We peaked with Benny.
Bro,
Jesus.
See, there's fucking Benny lovers out there too, Benny bro. Stands. Benny's
that
the shit.
That guy's probably
dude.
A crypto bro,
Benny
too.
Benny is
losing
the fucking,
his ass on the fucking mic.
I don't care what you guys say. Benny was an entertaining character, and he was funny.
That's not
as
what
shit.
We're not saying. We're just
well, that's the reason I like him. That's it. It's not relatability. It's not because he's a fucking scumbag piece of shit, and I feel like
but he is, though.
You know.
That's why you like him, though.
No, that I don't like him because of that. I like him because he's entertaining and he fucking
yeah, but he's
the
entertaining
so
because
much
he's a scumbag.
More watchable and enjoyable, but he got what he deserves and he's a scumbag. So we all agree on that. Come
and
on,
let's hope that all scumbags get what they deserve.
I will say, as far as like a comic relief character, he's one of the more less annoying ones. You know,
that's for sure.
Like he plays a really good comic relief in that he's kind of serious at times. He's knowledgeable. He's not an idiot. Like, he really is just someone who's self, like, prioritizing his self above everything else.
Hey, you need fucking a bunch of languages, dude.
He's a selfish piece of shit, but he's also kind of like, hey, you know.
Yeah, he said some shit that made sense, you know?
Yeah. For sure.
But yeah.
But yeah. Those are our Letterboxd reviews. That's what the people have to say.
All right.
Seems like they love it.
So what do you guys boys think? What are the ratings? Let's get this ball rolling.
I'll go first.
Yeah.
I give it a 9 out of 10.
Wow.
I think that's one of the highest you've done.
Phenomenal.
I love that.
And if we don't review Mummy Returns, that's fucking a 10 out of 10.
Honestly, I'm with Gator on this one. 9.5. Almost a perfect film. Not because it's like one of the best it's ever been, but it's just so enjoyable, so nostalgic to me. It's an easy watch. I just love everything about it. No notes. 9.5. It's just really good.
Crazy. I'm going to be the outlier here then, because I give it an 8. I give it a solid. But the only reason for that is because I like Mummy Returns.
Fucking nitpicky motherfucker.
Better.
Yeah, but Mummy Returns
doesn't mean that
is
this movie's not good.
Is 8 a bad? Is 8 a bad movie?
For this movie, yeah.
Yeah, dude. Wow. This is one of the best.
I'm a little closer to Lex. I'm between both of you guys. I'm actually at an 8.5. I think that this movie is really good and I enjoy it a lot. I do see kind of some flaws and stuff, but I don't think that makes it a bad watch. I think that just makes it more of like an old school 90s movies where they're not doing what they do today and researching every single facet of history or lore or whatever of a specific culture, nation.
That doesn't even matter because we just reviewed Captain America.
Oh, I mean, that was very, obviously. Yeah. You know?
Awful.
But like
let
said,
Indy retire, please, for God's sake.
He was the best out of that movie.
I know, but bro, come on.
He still got chops.
Yeah. 8.5. All right, so on average, 8.75.
We will round up.
What's that?
Oh, no. Yeah, baby. Yeah. If you haven't seen this, I don't know what you're doing, but please watch this fucking film.
Yeah.
Do the whole thing.
But anyways, do you want to wrap this up?
Oh, like a mummy, I get it.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of Four Guys,
One Film.